the fourth week of Advent is peace, and that'll be largely what we talk about, because I consider this one of the greatest gifts of the Nativity is peace. And I thought about it, you know, we prayed for world peace, and we spoke about some of the specific conflicts going on, but the war going on right now between Israel and Hamas is less than 46 miles from Bethlehem, where we pray for peace, where the Nativity took place, that close. If you think about what's 46 miles from here, and I mean, it's, you know, it's a wake-up call to what's going on in the world and the need for peace. And it's Christmas Eve, and I find myself thinking about some of my favorite memories and traditions I've experienced over the years. We always did a Christmas Eve service at our church and got up early, and my brothers and I, we were typical kids. We would wake up as early as we could, want to get our parents awake, and I think the deal we ended up working out was you can do stockings, but you can't open any gifts, and don't wake us up by any means until whatever it was. It was still ridiculous early. It was like 6 or something like that, yeah, right? 6 o'clock or something like that. Then we could wake them up and stuff, and they and it's wonderful. And then we always had those same little Pillsbury orange rolls and grapefruit, and that was kind of our tradition. The stocking always had a couple of the same things. Everybody got oranges, underwear, and chapstick, and you know, I don't know. I think until I got married, it's probably the only time I ever got on new underwear. I'm gonna take that out of the message. Stay on script. But I'm also reminded of the kindness and generosity that I've often witnessed this time of year. You know, we talk about the red kettles in front of places. We talk about our generosity as we've adopted families. And people in general like to think are a little more generous, a little more kind, and a little more charitable with their time and with their money. There are also memories of those calm winter's days with those fat snowflakes, you know, gently falling, and we have nowhere to be because they've canceled school. And so we can simply enjoy the beauty and serenity of the moment, you know, true peace and quiet and calm and contentment, especially down here in the Ozarks, right? The you walk out on a July and you can hear the boats already rolling and you can hear coconuts DJ blasting, but this time of year you can go outside the church or your home and just sit and just listen to the wind and find peace and quiet and calm and hopefully contentment. So as we gather on this Blessed Christmas Eve, we are here to celebrate the miraculous event that changed the world forever, and that's the birth of Jesus Christ. In the stillness of this holy Eve, let us reflect on a profound gift given to us through the Nativity, and that's the gift of peace. And we live in lives that are crowded with, you know, by a fast-paced world. Even if we choose to kind of disassociate from parts of it, it's still around us. And the need for true peace is more important than ever. We're bombarded by constant information, pressures from society and global challenges, and that makes the serenity of Christ's peace not only a comfort to us, but a necessity for us. True peace stands as a sanctuary for our souls. And it must not be considered an impossible goal, like we could never achieve peace, not with what's going on. Rather, it must be recognized as the true desire of God, the Father, that he has for each and every one of us, that we feel peace. Consider the story of that first Christmas and the Nativity, all right? So whether the recollection of this is Linus, remember, telling the story on the stage, reciting the scripture for a frustrated Charlie Brown who thought no one remembered the meaning of Christmas, or it's your parent reading it as a part of the family tradition, or maybe you're hearing it now for the first time in a long time, I want to turn to the Gospel of Luke 2, 8 through 14 and share this account that we are so familiar with. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Then suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' So imagine the quiet fields, the starry night sky, and the unsuspecting shepherds and their awe as this angel appeared, turning their ordinary night into a divine encounter. How can we find this same peace in our own lives today? And I want to ponder this as we consider. This passage from Luke captures the essence of what we celebrate today. The angels proclaimed peace on earth, signifying the birth of Jesus as the advent or the arrival of divine peace. This peace is not as the world has ever offered. It's not a peace that the world has ever given. And I'll be honest, it's not even capable of giving the kind of peace that this birth intends. It is a deeper, lasting peace that transcends, even defies our understanding. And we've heard that before in this room. I've shared that passage a lot, a peace that transcends understanding. We hear those words, but what does that mean? I think in our modern context, it refers to a type of inner peace, right? A calm that goes beyond logical explanation or our human comprehension. It's a profound sense of serenity and contentment that doesn't rely on or align with the circumstances we're going through, that one might be facing. For instance, someone might feel this deep-seated peace during challenging times. Logically, they should be anxious or distressed. And so part of our prayers as we pray for those in our community, along with our prayers healing, is that they feel God's peace. And we know people like this. We've seen people like this. Maybe you felt this yourself in your life, but you see someone just going through something terrible, and they're like, you know, whether they say it or not, God's got this. You look at me like, how can you be so calm? You know, because God has blessed them with peace, a hope, a faith, and a trust that doesn't make sense, but it's real. It's real. This peace is often associated with a deep spiritual or emotional experience that provides comfort and stability despite the unpredictability and complexity of modern life. And maybe that's what it is that brings us peace, is with all this going on, God is still there. This is the peace brought by Christ, and it is unique to him. In John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." This peace comes from the harmony with God that withstands life's storms. It's a peace that brings comfort in times of trouble, hope in times of despair, and light in times of darkness. And as we celebrate the Nativity, we are reminded that this peace is a lasting gift to us all. Jesus said that he is leaving his peace with us. It is an enduring gift that calms our fears, it soothes our anxieties, and offers rest to our weary souls. And in a world plagued with turmoil and unrest, the peace of Christ is our refuge, our sanctuary. So he offers this gift. How do we accept and embrace this gift? Well, I think it starts with opening our hearts to the message of the Nativity, not just the celebration, right? We know Christmas and we're, you know, celebrating, but the story of it as well. Are we excited that it is Christmas? Are we excited that Jesus was born and he's with us? To embrace Jesus Christ as Savior is to welcome his peace into our lives. It involves trusting him, leaning on his understanding, and allowing his love to permeate our being. Attaining this peace is dependent on Jesus and requires a relationship with him. But you have a vital role in your own personal acceptance of this divine peace. You have a choice. And through personal reflection and mindfulness and intentional actions to hear and know the character of God, you can cultivate this inner peace that will develop into the profound joy that God desires you to experience. The more you seek, the more you understand, and the more you will find this peace and joy as God intends for you to experience it. And when we embrace the peace of Christ, it transforms us. It guides our thoughts, it guides our actions, and it guards our interactions with others. It empowers us to be peacemakers, to spread love and kindness, to offer forgiveness, and to seek reconciliation. And these kinds of behaviors and perceptions, they mold us into ambassadors of peace, reflecting Christ's love in our interactions with the world. Because these are gifts that we have accepted from God. They overflow into our view and treatment of others and ourselves. When it comes from God, it not only fills us, but overflows. Now, if you were to go home and turn on the news or read the headlines or scroll through your phone, the world seems increasingly chaotic and restless. But the message of Nativity shines even brighter than anything the world has to offer. Jesus was born into a world not unlike our own. It was marked by unrest, political upheaval, and social discord. Yet it was this very setting that the Prince of Peace entered, because that was God's will. God knew that that's what we need. Jesus' own words form a promise found in John 16:33. He says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This powerful assurance reminds us that despite the turmoil and challenges we face, we can and we will find peace in him. Jesus does not promise a life free of difficulties, but he does offer us a peace that can endure through these trials. We continue to face trouble and obstacles to peace, both externally and internally. Social media, political divisiveness, environmental concerns, tension in our personal relationships, and global unrest contribute to a sense of unease. In such times, the message of the Nativity brings a contrasting serenity, right? It doesn't make sense that there's this peace. It calls us to find peace not in these circumstances and situations, but in a deeper spiritual connection. Done as God intended, your hope, your love, your joy, and your peace will not be defined. These things will not be controlled, and they will certainly not be limited by anything but the Spirit of God. These are the glorious things that the angels announced to the shepherds with such excitement, because they knew that is exactly what the broken world needs. God's hope, his love, his joy, and peace are what you and I still need. In the birth of Jesus, we find not just a promise of peace, but also a profound resolution to the burden of our sins. The Nativity signifies the beginning of a God's redemptive plan for humanity. It offers a path of salvation that frees us from shame and guilt and fear of punishment for our sins. Peace. To truly experience God's peace, we must approach it in a personal and specific way. It's not just about perspective. I'm just going to look at this and not worry. It's not about a passive acceptance by acclamation. God did it. God said it. So it's going to happen. There is an intentional action to be taken, and this includes practicing self-forgiveness, as emphasized in Colossians 3:13. It says, "Bear with others and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." There's a lot in those two sentences. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, just as he did, with no limits, no restrictions, as he did it for you. Continually, at the same time. We don't wait for God's forgiveness and say, "Now I'm going to go show it." We don't, you know, it's all just flows through us. Forgiveness and peace and reconciliation. And God's peace also means relinquishing our worries. As Philippians 4:6-7 teaches us, not to be anxious about anything, but present our requests to God. Lastly, finding contentment in our current circumstances, as Paul stated in 1 Timothy 6:6-7, says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Great gain in contentment. "For we brought nothing in the world, and we can take nothing out of it." And he says in Philippians 4:12-13, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And we know this last sentence really well. "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Contentment. Not pursuing the things that we were never intended to pursue. Letting God take care of it and finding a peace. Not a settlement, but a peace in those. The willingness and ability to find contentment and trust in God with our need is essential for us to experience peace. For Romans 8:1-2, listen to this. He says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus," I'll say, "who was born on this day, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." You know, in this bold statement, the Apostle Paul reminds us that in Christ we are liberated from the weight of our past mistakes. You are set free from that stuff. Through Christ, God offers us a new beginning, a life branded not by condemnation, but marked by grace and peace. And this peace is not just a gift to be cherished and tucked away. You know, thank you. I've got it. I have it. It's a calling for us to actively share it, to foster peace and bringing Christ's hope and tranquility into our world. So let's not just carry the peace of the nativity. Let's engage in it and be peace builders within our community, in our relationships. You know, I was thinking about it. As we celebrate birthdays, we're kind of thankful for whoever it is we're celebrating and the X number of years of their life and having those memories and what they've done and all that stuff. But with Christ, as we celebrate Christ's birthday, we're celebrating what he would go on to do, what he would do. Not just what he's done, but what he would do and continues to do. Through God's commandments, Jesus' teachings and his examples, we're challenged to be agents of change and bring tranquility and hope of Christ's peace into our world. And this is the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ to which you have been called to continue. You have been called to continue this work. This is both a message and a mission, and it transcends all boundaries. It doesn't matter your culture or your social background or your personal beliefs or anything like that. I mean, this is the mission that we have all been called to as children of God. It is a universal beacon of hope and love relevant to each one of us, regardless of our individual journeys. We face similar but different challenges, finding peace in the small moments in our interactions with others and in our response to life's surprises. It mirrors the peace of the nativity, and people see that. People recognize that. And if they don't recognize it as being a gift from God, they at least are curious. Called a strength of character about your peace or your confidence or your faith, even though you're going through whatever it may be. So as we leave this place to go about our holiday plans and traditions, let us carry both the story and the peace of the nativity. Not just the story, but the peace. Let it be a light that shines through us and touches those around us. It is a beacon of hope and love in a world that so desperately needs us. Paul's benediction for the Philippians reads this way. He says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That is my prayer for you as well. May the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and may you be a source of his peace to others. Let's make that our prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather on this Christmas Eve, recognizing the nativity, reading the story, but also recognizing the message, the gift of this life, of this sacrifice into the world, so that there may be a different kind of hope and love and joy and peace that not only does the world not quite understand, but it's not capable of offering. So Lord, as we go about our lives and seek joy in things and we have hope in things happening, whatever it may be, and we find and love and we have love for things, and we think that peace is just the absence of conflict, would you remind us of the true meaning of these and that the world cannot give them the way that you do, that the way you intend. So as we seek a relationship with you through this Jesus Christ, as we're able to have this because we've been forgiven of our sins and cleansed of unrighteousness, help that hope, love, joy, and peace just flow in us so that we can go about this holiday season. We can share it with our family, with friends, neighbors, coworkers, and people on the street. And let them know that there is a Lord that loves them. Thank you, Lord, for that reminder. Thank you for the gift of the nativity, the simple message that it provides, that the shepherds heard and they shared with such joy as they ran back, that the magi came and they left and they shared their story with such excitement because they know what it meant. Lord, let us leave this place, this gathering, this online message, whatever it may be, fulfilled, knowing that in the morning, Christ comes. And the world has hope. It's in his name we pray. Amen.